Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brothers who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybody. Now, such persons who command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living.
Well done. Amen. As a setup for this verse, please imagine with me a hypothetical situation. And it is hypothetical. Imagine with me a young man of, let's say he's 25, living in the ancient city of Thessalonica, to whom this letter was written. He spends his days, we would say, chilling, playing cards, kicking it with the fellas. He's got a few girlfriends on the side, and he pretty much just kind of plays them, we would say. They give him money, they give him food, they buy him clothes, without requiring of him any formal marriage commitment. He has no appetite for work, especially if it's hard work, because life is so much better and easier when you can just kind of hustle everyone else and live off of them. And then the gospel comes to his city. He hears it through the preaching of Paul, Silas, and Timothy. He's intrigued, convicted, challenged, and realizes this is the truth. So he believes the gospel. He's baptized, though it costs him socially and practically, and he becomes part of the Christian community in Thessalonica. But some of the old ways die hard, and his idleness is one of them. He just kind of keeps it up. He couch surfs, eats other people's food with the regular dinner invitation he gets. You know, Christians are very hospitable, so he kind of takes advantage of that. The thought of getting a job, being an active, participating, contributing member of society sounds nice, but then you have to work. And what that might mean for him is that he would have to be a day laborer. And he thinks to himself, folks like me, we don't do that kind of work. I mean, if I could find a job that pays well, gives me honor and respect, but doesn't require me to do any menial task, then I'm down. Why dig a ditch all day when I can wake up at 11, play cards, chill, and mooch off my people? And then, to top it off, there's teaching going around that Jesus has already come or is going to come tomorrow. And that seals the deal for him. Why work, he thinks. I'm just going to hang out. And if he has not come yet, I'm just going to kick it and wait until he does. How should the church in Thessalonica deal with this young man? How should we, the church in Portland, deal with someone like this? This is exactly what the Holy Spirit instructs us today from this passage of Scripture that Pierre just read. So let's walk through it and see, what is the Holy Spirit's instruction to deal with this kind of idleness? Now we command you, brothers. Brothers, of course, would apply to male and female. It's to all of us. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a command. And it's a strong command. It comes with the authority of Jesus. So it's not a suggestion. It's not, hey, consider. With the authority of Christ, this is a command. That you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. Idleness means somebody who's lazy. They're a time waster. They kind of mooch. Do we still use the word mooch, or am I stuck in the 90s still? That's still. Sometimes I don't know if my lingo is current or if it when I was 17. So if you look at me blank, I'll know I'm reliving my youth. But it's somebody who's lazy, time waster. They mooch off other people. It also has this idea of someone who's disorderly. It's sometimes translated disorderly, meaning they live lazy, undisciplined, unruly lives. And Paul says, this is not in accord with the tradition you receive from us, meaning the teaching of the apostles, the writings of the apostles, as recorded in the scriptures. The way these people are living is not consistent with this. So, he says, keep away from them. In other words, it has this idea of not tolerating them or enabling them. That they need to be challenged. They need to be told, hey, you need to change. And if they don't, they need to be told to go somewhere else. This is, and we see this in verse 14, which we'll look at more next week, a form of church discipline. Listen to verse 14. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. In other words, the hope is, as the church says, hey man, you got to stop mooching off everybody. And if you don't change, you need to leave. The hope is that discipline from the church will result in him kind of waking up, saying, what am I doing? And changing his ways. And then Paul gives them this example that they themselves have lived as a teaching opportunity. Verse 7, for you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. So as apostles, those sent from God with the authority of Jesus to start new churches and have authority over the churches, they had the right to compensation from the church. Paul makes this case in 1 Corinthians 9, saying, if we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? As apostles, they had that right. But Paul and his team chose not to use that right with the Thessalonians. They didn't spend their days just chilling, hanging out at the coffee shop, drinking coffee all day, living off of what other people would support them. No, they went out and they worked. Paul was a tent maker. He made tents. Not only that, when people would give them stuff, they would compensate them for it. Christian leaders, we, especially if you have a certain level of success or notoriety, if, you know, in the Western culture, you can become quite famous if you're really gifted and these different things, which is not always bad. Sometimes it's quite good. But the bad side of it is that sometimes it can create an entitlement, this sense that I'm worth and I deserve the money and influence and recognition that people give me. Paul and his team said, we don't want any of that. Even though as apostles we could get that, instead, we're going to give this Thessalonian church an example. We're not going to freeload off them. We're not going to be a burden to them. So we're going to work as an example. And so, with that, he says this. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. In other words, Thessalonican church, don't enable those who are lazy and unmotivated. If anyone is not willing to go out and get a job, don't feed them. We see in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 that humans were made to create. We were made to steward. We were made to work. We were made to produce. We were made to labor. And that work that human beings were given was not the result of sin. It was given to the human race before sin was ever in the picture. It's what God has given to his creation, to labor, produce, steward, and create. So, the text is saying, if you have someone in your community who is unwilling to do that, don't let them mooch off of you. Verse 11. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Listen to almost a play on words. They walk in idleness. They're busy, not busy rather, but busy bodies. Busy bodies means, a Greek dictionary describes it as to bustle about uselessly, to busy oneself about trifling, needless, useless matters. Also translated as meddler. So it's not like they're sleeping in all day to 1 o'clock, although that might be part of it. But the time that they do have, instead of using that on productive things, they're using it on unproductive, lazy things that are sapping other people of their energy and finances. So in our context, it might be somebody who, instead of go get a job, plays video games all day, or is on social media all day, or is at the casino, at the tables all day, or someone who's sitting in the coffee shop gossiping all day, or somebody who's at the mall running up credit card debt all day. It's somebody who they're idle, and the things they're busy with are not good things, not productive things. So what does the Holy Spirit then command? Verse 12. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. In other words, the Holy Spirit says, get a job. Get a job. A J-O-B, right? Go to work. So, it doesn't sound that sexy or exciting. You know, perhaps we would have something a little bit with more flair. Those people, you know, who are, you know, unsure on their place in life, what to do, they need to spend a week prayer and fasting and really seek the Lord on what he wants you to do. Or they need to, you know, go read a bunch of books about vocation to kind of figure out exactly where you fit. No, you need to get a job. It may sound boring, but this is the will of God for us. Praise God for you in this room who get up every day, you go about your work, you bless society with your faithful hard labor, earning your living and providing for others. God is honored by your vocation. And this is the will of God for us. Now, please note, this looks different in different stages of life, right? Depending on where you're at. But the heart of the passage, regardless of your stage of life, is the same. So it might have a different look, but the heart remains the same. So for example, if you're 12 years old, you can't legally yet go out and get a job, right? However, you can choose to spend your time on things that are useful and productive. Or if you're a mom of young kids and you work primarily in the home, No one, sadly, is paying you for your work, even though you're working harder probably than anyone else who is out in the 9-to-5 world. So it's not so much a matter of do you get income or not for your work, but the heart of the hard work and useful labor, which moms who are at home working with their kids epitomize. Or if you're a retired person, you've completed your vocational career. You may not get paid for work anymore, but you still work and are useful and productive with the time you have. Or the person like me, your job is you don't have a product or a service that you sell or offer, which people pay for, but your income comes from the giving of others, pastors, missionaries, those who work in the nonprofit world. So it's not so much about where your money comes from, but are we hardworking? Are we productive? Are we diligent? Are we a good use of the money that people give? Or the person who, because of illness, unwanted unemployment, or circumstances of life, is unable to work at the present time. It may look different in different stages of life, but the bigger picture of not being idle, being a blessing instead of a burden, spending your time on useful and godly pursuits instead of ones that are trivial and unimportant and causing yourself to be a burden to others. Please also note, this has nothing to do with our inherent value as a person, right? We're not valuable based upon what we do or we do not do. We're valuable because we're image bearers of God, male and female, made in the image of God. So whether we make a lot of money or don't make any money, whether we are very productive or unproductive, we have inherent worth and value because we belong to God. And because we belong to God, let that be the encouragement or the motivation to live a life that is useful and a blessing to others. So, what has the Holy Spirit told us through His written word? Don't enable those who are lazy and unwilling to work. Encourage them and challenge them to get a job, earn their living, and contribute. If they don't receive or heed such instruction, keep clear of them, hopefully as a way of waking them up. Isn't this fun? This is why you go through books of the Bible, verse by verse, because you get to stuff like this, right? We're probably not picking this if we're just kind of picking our favorite topic of the week, but because we go straight through the text, the Holy Spirit says, this is the word of God for the well this Sunday. So, back to our hypothetical situation. What about our Thessalonian friend? The church gets this letter from Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and realizes this has to stop. So they tell him, hey man, you can't keep doing this. You got to get a job. Or you need to get moving. Everybody likes that. He's bothered by this. He gets defensive and mad. But then he realizes they're right. He gets a job. And sure enough, though it's not as fun as it was when he could sleep in till 11, he has this sense of purpose and accomplishment that touches something deep inside of him each day. He's a better witness of the gospel as people no longer see him as a lazy freeloader. And he's got money now. Not only is he not burdening other people, but he's able to give to other people and to bless them as well. Finally, and in conclusion, if you feel convicted about this verse, challenged, perhaps you need to respond in some way and change a certain aspect of the way you're living, we encourage you, as we always do, as we must, to look to Jesus. Christ perfectly fulfilled this. He didn't waste time. He didn't burden others. He wasn't a freeloader. Instead, everything he did was with purpose and intention And he blessed and he poured out himself for others and gave himself for others. Jesus's perfect obedience covers our imperfect disobedience. And so as you wrestle with what does this look like and how do I obey this, we encourage you also to go to Christ, whose perfect obedience covers us, whose death on the cross cleanses us from our guilt and shame, and who, by the power of his Holy Spirit, gives us the grace that we need to obey him. Amen? Lord, we submit the text to you. We just pray for the Holy Spirit's wisdom in obeying this and living this out. In Jesus' name, amen. I would love to take a couple questions if we do this from time to time when there's extra time and we have a couple minutes. Any questions related to the text, please? Bill? Good question. I'll repeat it so everyone hears it. Is this passage talking about homeless people in kind of in general, or is it specifically to the church? And I think in this context, it's talking about life within the church. Now, its application will extend to other areas of life for sure. As Christians, we're still required to be generous, right? Jesus said, give to the one who asks you. However, there is an appropriate place for, as we give, to give wisely. And kind of the kind of theological framework that this verse gives us about our responsibility to work, to be productive, to be useful, to also help inform how we give. But we should still be generous, give to people, bless people, because I think the immediate application is life in the local church. Another question? And I could be wrong on that. So maybe ask another one of the elders when you get a chance or someone else. But that's kind of my take. Another question on this? Great. I'll turn it over to Justin.